Yoffi.
Welcome back.
Welcome back again. We are continuing our series of Shurim on the topic of reincarnation. Yesterday we looked a lot at reincarnations that are from the Tanakh, from our holy forebears. We looked at the women's side, right? We looked at different reincarnations of women. Now we're going to look at different reincarnations, Be'ezrat Hashem, of men and where they came from. Okay, so let's start with Noah. Noah, the one in the boat.
Richard Crowe, Russell.
Yeah, didn't see it. One in the boat. Okay, so what do we say about, what do we know about Noah? When he came out of the ark, he planted a vineyard and he got drunk and it wasn't very successful. It wasn't a successful endeavor. So why did he do that? He was a very righteous man. He didn't suddenly lose all his righteousness while he was on the boat in the ark and come out and decided to get drunk. You know, it was such a no. He was still a righteous man. In fact, he was more righteous, right? When you go through that experience, and you, right? He was a very holy man. So what was he doing planting a vineyard and getting drunk? So he was trying to make a tikkun.
Problems that he got drunk, or problems what he did?
He went partying.
Maybe it was an incarnation from the guy he said he had wine after the
drink. So he was trying to make a tikkun. Actually, it doesn't say here. So he was trying to make a tikkun for Gan Eden, Adam Rishon, one of the Perushim on the Chet the tree of good and evil, that it was a vine. So he was trying to rectify that by using, right, this is kind of a rebirth of the world. We're back to Kilu Gan Eden again after the flood. Everything's been started again. So let's try and start again properly. So he was trying to make a tikkun, and it didn't work, right? Because we saw it's a very difficult thing, right? There's many times very righteous people have tried to make tikkun and they haven't worked, right?
There's an issue that I've never heard discussed, which is a very simple issue, but we don't seem to know anything about it. When you plant a vine for grapes, it takes years for that grape to be able to produce wine. So there was a time period, well, if there's a shorter time, I'd like to know about that.
You can make it one cup, but maybe.
So there's only two options really.
One option is that it wasn't running according to our nature, and it was a miracle that it grew quick. We know that such things can happen. We've seen elsewhere that trees grow overnight and whatever. We have seen miracles of that nature. So we don't know. So possibly it wasn't. So one option, it was a miracle. It grew miraculously. Unnaturally, it grew very quick. Or it didn't. And it was a natural cause. And the story about Noah and the wine took place over 2 years, 3 years. Who knows? However long it took.
St. John's, okay, it grew immediately, it grew the
doing more spots. We had food to manage all those years to eat.
Okay.
And you say, okay, had to wait 3 years. Why did we didn't have to wait 3 years? Because it grew in, not the earth, it grew in the cellar.
Okay.
Yes,
Ruben.
Thank you. Was in the ark.
Yeah.
Noah take out the dove.
Yes.
So he come back with the leaves, olive.
Olive branch.
So it has to be a tree. So he was.
Nachon, but we say we're saying here he planted it, not that he found. He didn't find an existing vine. He planted it. Apparently, he planted it. Apparently, could be that was one that existed. Okay, so what happened to Noah? So Noah, he gets drunk, and as a result, he's found. We know the story. He's found naked and he's disgraced. And
more than disgraced.
Well,
castrated.
So according to some, he's castrated by his son Ham, which is why Ham is then cursed afterwards. Anyway, so he receives his tikkun. Noah receives his tikkun for doing this through Yosef. Yosef, why? Apparently, because Yosef refrained from drinking wine despite all his troubles until he drank with his brothers. That was the first time that he drank wine.
Why was not in the boat?
Why is not what?
No. He drank wine too.
Yeah, maybe. Don't know. Don't know. Could be.
Except for Lot when
don't
he saw him.
Could be. Okay, and also he also helped rectify the disgrace of what Ham did to him by staying away from Potiphar's wife. Reflect, right, the blemish of Tikkun Abrit caused by Ham. No, we're not talking, not necessarily with the wine, we're just talking about the fact that Yosef was, Noah came back as Yosef.
But
it also said, Ben Chazal, that some have seen a woman who's sota, who should stay away from wine.
Okay. That's something I learned. I
hope so. Otherwise, don't we're coming. Okay, next. Canaan, right, who was cursed as being a slave to his brothers by Noah. Sorry, it was Canaan that did it, not Ham. Who did it? Canaan was cursed. Even though it was Ham that did it, Canaan was the one that was cursed.
The person that did it was the one that was cursed?
No.
The son
was Ham, but the son of Ham was Canaan, and Canaan was the one that got the curse.
The curse continued on.
It was supposed to be the every fourth son of his would have that problem, so he had those fourth son of his. Could be? I don't know.
Okay, don't know. Need some further analysis. Anyway, huh?
Canaan was Elizabeth.
Was what?
Elizabeth, the servant from
Canaan. Yeah. So that's what we're going to say now. So Canaan, who was cursed as being a slave, comes back as Eliezer, who is the slave of Abraham.
Wow.
Right? And here, he rectifies himself, right? Because we know that Eliezer acted in a huge way. He did everything that Abraham wanted of him. And according to the Zohar, he was transformed from one who is cursed into one who is blessed. Right, which is a good example of how a later lifetime can rectify an neshama completely. Being one who's cursed, one who's being blessed. Okay, we then see that, with no explanation, but just it comments here, that Eliezer is then reincarnated into Eliezer, who is the son of Moshe. Moshe had two sons, Eliezer and Gershom. Right, apparently Eliezer reincarnates into Eliezer, and also he, according to Hasidic tradition that's brought here, he also reincarnates into Eliezer, the father of the Baal Shem Tov. Don't know. At least maybe an aspect of the soul. You can have different parts of the soul.
What's a climb?
What's what?
It's quite a climb.
Climb.
What's he could say?
No, just left it as a...
Meaning that if you have the same name in a later generation, there's a chance that you have.
I think it's a flag, but it doesn't mean you are. It's a flag to kind of like maybe something
now
going
in,
on here.
In the truth. So he was not the truth.
Cool. Yeah. Okay. So now once he rectified himself, he can now come back into being. Okay. We said about Yosef that.
So he was not a Jew, and the same when he came back in this world as a non-Jew, then he may be the one.
Yeah, that's it.
Because now he can come back or when the Jew.
Yeah, no, so there is definitely, I've seen different sources which talk about Jews coming back as non-Jews, non-Jews coming back as Jews.
Yes, it happens.
Right, it does happen.
Yeah.
It's not fixed. As far as I'm aware, it's not fixed.
It happens.
That's why we say all of a sudden you go out and be
dead. Right, because it didn't have to be. Not because it didn't have to be. Right, because we, yeah. If you can come back as a stone, you can come back as a goy.
Interesting.
To Judaism, when he was a slave of Abraham.
Or to Buddhism, there were many
more. No, but convert to being...
Anybody can convert.
But there were no Judaism
He converted them to being believers.
But Noah.
To be believers.
Okay, but they were not Jews.
There were no Jews until after Yaakov.
Eliezer.
No.
Okay.
It was a Ben Noah.
I don't know.
I know.
Oh, I see.
Thank you.
Don't know.
This is why they say
people from the tribes are always going to be cursed.
I know nothing.
They do not for the wife and
family.
Okay,
got that. Okay, that's good. It's all good. Yes.
These souls, they're not Jews, they come in Jewish. Souls, they're not Jewish souls, they come in Jewish.
Yeah, apparently.
So, I understand when you said Jewish soul is in the Jewish he converts, he comes in, this is his thing.
Yes. It's a punishment, and then you have to come back. So, a Jew goes into the soul of the Goy, and then their job is to come back and.
Yeah, I understand, but when the Jewish soul is in the Jewish,
Jewish body. Oh, I see. So maybe he doesn't want that way. No, I don't know. No. Unless he's fixed himself.
The other situation would be they go into the Goyish body because they're showing traits of Arab.
Uh-huh. Okay, so next we have Yosef. Yosef as Sadiq. Yosef. Shalom Yosef as Sadiq. Yosef the other Sadiq.
Okay.
So apparently you came back. Right. When Yosef was with Potiphar's wife, so the Gemara says in Sotah that he was although he was completely pure with her, he was aroused such that ten drops of seed came out of his fingers.
Oh,
however, we understand that.
Ten drops. Maybe he cut him in blood.
Okay, so that's how it happened. Okay, so 10 drops came through his fingers. Whatever that means. Okay, now we said before, mentioned previous class that this resulted in the 10 martyrs. Rabbi Akiva and the 10 martyrs were
because of that?
A rectification, yeah.
This is all for fourth in the Zohar? Under this topic?
Oh, no, it's not got a source here. This one doesn't have a source. And it says Yosef himself reincarnated into Pinchas, who because he was zealous to protect the Kedusha of what was going on with Zimri and Cosby, right? So that was a tikkun for any trace of impropriety that it might have been with Potiphar's wife. Right? So with Potiphar's wife, he didn't kill her, so to speak. He didn't he dealt with the situation the way he dealt with it. But Pinchas came along and said, that's it. No prisoners, right? No messing around. Yeah.
But Yosef also spent, 12 years in jail because of this?
Okay, so.
So he really suffered.
Nachon, but he did. But although a person can suffer, there's a difference between suffering as a tikkun and coming back and fixing the action by doing that action differently. We see in most of these cases, the individual comes back to do the same act or the same concept, the same role, the same type of act. But this time in a correct way. So here, he's now coming back, and he's as Pinchas, and he's completely.
He wasn't suffering.
He was dancing.
He was dancing.
You know everything
that he can dance.
Everything
is good.
He was dancing.
He wasn't a good dancer, that's why you came along.
Are you still dancing?
Does that also mean that all the Goyim are also being Goyim?
There are people who explain Gilgulim, for example, what do you call it? Nebuchadnezzar comes back as Saddam Hussein, stuff like that. So there are people who explain that way. But I don't know if that's only major figures who have like major tikkunim, because other people, because the purpose of Gilgulim is for tikkun. So if you're a major character, if you like, you're doing that some, then you've got like a reason to come back and have a tikkun. But if you're just Joe Schmo who lives in
a, doesn't need a tikkun,
that's what I'm saying. But it depends what he's done, how he affects the world. Maybe he needs to come back because he's now playing a role. Like Paro might come back as
Obama.
As Obama, Ludogma, right? Or whatever, to for example, we don't know that.
Samir Cohen's chapter on Gilgulim shows pictures of Goyim, presidents of the United States,
based on
like
facial characteristics. Right. Right. So Nachon, he does that. They say there's a very nice he doesn't have it in his book, but Paro and Obama, there's a from the that they took out of one of the pyramids of Giza, which one it was, of Paro, right, and stuck it next to Obama, and it's very much.
It's on juiceandcats.com.
Juiceandcats.com. You need a jingle. You need a jingle that we can just play. Play the Juice and Cats jingle.
Autistic children are going to. I think there's a
jingle. Tom, look, what happens by the Goyim in certain cases is only for Am Yisrael, right? They say, why do the Goyim get sick? Goyim don't need to get sick. Goyim only get sick because it will be a busha to Am Yisrael if only Am Yisrael were getting sick. Right? We need to get sick because it's a message from Hashem to rectify something, to work on something, to fix something, to do it, right? It's a message. But Hashem doesn't treat the goyim that way. That's not their job. Right? So Chazal say, so why do they get sick? They should get sick. They don't need to. So the answer is, in order to not be an embarrassment for Am Yisrael. So too here, you could say, look, maybe...
So there's some truth based on the fact that they blamed us for that plague.
Yeah, we caught... Yeah, no, Rashi says, on the plagues. It's on the plagues, or he says on the flood. Can't remember one of them. In the Chumash, Rashi says, the only reason why bad things happen to Goyim is for Am Yisrael. So when they blame us for all the earthquakes in... Rashi says, the only reason why, I think he says on the plagues, the only reason why bad things happen to the Goyim is for the sake of Am Yisrael. So we learn and we wake up and we do something about it, we take notice, whatever. It's for us. Hashem doesn't need to create people and destroy them, Doesn't, for no apparent reason. Why does that help anyone? No, for Am Yisrael, because Am Yisrael has a purpose to learn from that. Act on it. Anyway, Yofi, what's the next bit? Yosef later returns as Yehoshua of bringing Am Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael fame. Right? A different spark. Good question. A different spark comes back. Different part of the soul. It's not the entire soul. Right? Most of Yosef is in Shemayim because he got rectified, but part of Yosef comes back as Pinchas, and part of him comes back as Yeshua. Also, it might be that the part that came back as Pinchas only came back for that specific act and then left, like an Ibur. He said that an Ibur sometimes comes temporarily in order to fix something. Comes into you, right? It also came into him then to give him the power and the courage and the whatever he needed. It's the Gemara writes about that. There was 10 miracles that happened when Pinchas did that. It lists out 10 miracles. It wasn't just he killed them. Like 10 miracles, for example, that he had the strength to hold them up on a thing. And another one was they didn't fall off. There's 10 altogether miracles that happened at that time. Right, so maybe he only came in for that. Okay, so it comes back as Yosef. Why? Yosef comes back as Yehoshua. Why? Because Yehoshua, we find out, later marries. Who does Yehoshua marry? The woman from Jericho. He marries the woman from Jericho, Rahab. Rahab. Who was Rahab?
She was a prostitute.
A prostitute. Yafeh. That turned good. Right? She was the one who saved. Why did he marry her? Because what did she do? She was the one that put up the second meraglim, not the first one, the second set that Yehoshua sent. Yehoshua sent two men, and they went to spy out the land. And they hid with Rahab, pretending to be clients. And then, whoever found out, the king, don't know who he was, can't remember, found out, sent his men. She hid them on the roof in the flats. And they said to her, you will be saved, you and your household. And what did she have to do?
She had to, the red string.
She had to tie the red string to the window, and then everyone will know not to come into this house. And right, so anyone in that house is safe. Right, so Joshua married her. Right,
what more than that? Well, because she was saved these two guys.
No, 100%. She was an extremely holy woman. She went from being what would be called, deemed to be on the extreme of a negative woman.
I don't know that as far as the relationship.
Right?
Was that against Allah?
She converted.
No, but at the time when she was doing these things, what is it? Was something
I don't know if it's one of the seven Noahide laws.
I don't know.
It's not.
The Hebrew word.
No, it would probably would be.
The Hebrew biblical word for a woman was a Kadesha.
Kadesha. Cut off.
A holy woman.
Yeah, well, she's Kedesh Amin is here, set aside. Set aside.
Listen, I don't know which Granada is written here. I think that no man was sleeping in her. Because always before he saw her, he lost her. And then she was so
beautiful
that when the man saw her,
right, the Gemara says anyone who mentions her name,
yeah,
right, and they said, well, I just mentioned her name and I was fine. So the only one who mentions their name that actually knew her. So one who knew her and mentioned her name, that would be enough to have an omission. Gemara says. So we read that in Chagiga now.
Mentioned whose name?
Chagiga. Rahab.
I know a woman who went through the conversion process and wanted to take that name.
Yeah, and they wouldn't let
her.
Yeah, it's not considered. Well, we don't look on it. But it's not. I mean, she married, but the fact that she married Yoshua and was a holy woman, Yoshua's wife, only comes later. Also, we see later on, like lots of people, like we're going to see. Maybe we're going to get to it that Rabbi Akiva marries the wife of his second wife.
Question, right? So she was only wife.
No, probably had another wife. He would be too old to have been unmarried at that point. I assume he had another wife. Anyway, so what do we say? So the Rahab was a reincarnation of the soul of Potiphar's wife. Right? Because Yosef, we're saying Yosef reincarnated into Yeshua, and Potiphar's wife reincarnates into Rahab. Right? Because although they nothing happened, obviously, between them, there was a... The reason why it was all set up, because there was a reason there to otherwise be bound. It wasn't Stam, you're a man, I'm a woman, hey, why not? Right? There was a soul connection thing going on there, which is we saw later that Yosef married Potiphar's daughter. Right? Married the daughter. And the mother thought it was going to be her that should be... Right? That they... We're talking levels that we're in our day and age. It's a man, it's a woman. What do we know? But there, in the past, they knew stuff, right? When King David saw Bathsheba, he knew. It's not that just like he saw a woman, right? He knew that they had to be, right? So.
It was Dina's.
Dina's daughter was Absalom. Okay, King David's son Absalom. What happened to him?
He died.
Okay. It sounds pretty safe. Rebuke in Hebrew.
It's an argument with the tree.
Okay, Yofi. So what are we saying? So we're saying Absalom. Right? What was Absalom known for? So he was King David's son who rebelled against his father, King David.
Yeah.
And he was famous because he died. He died by being strung up by his hair as he was riding. He went under a tree. Be careful of this when you're riding and your hair's flowing in the wind. Right? Sure. Your peyote. Right? He had long red hair. Very, very, he didn't cut it, he was very proud of his hair. It's not a good thing. Right? And he got caught, that's how he died. Your feet. So, the long hair is what killed him. Right? He was very excited about his own long hair. So, who did he reincarnate into? He reincarnates into almost the one who became a Nazir. Right, that's not named. Right, there was the Nazir that came, the Nazir after seeing his reflection in the.
No, this would be after his
reflection. Different Nazir. Anyway, so it was him. Right, so that was his tikkun. His tikkun was this time, instead of getting excited about his hair and losing his head. He saw his hair and he went the other way. He's like, oh, I'm staying away from everything. Like, I'm being a Nazir. I'm staying away from all that stuff.
Yosef too was excited about his hair. He started combing his hair when he was.
Yosef also got rebuked for that. Okay. It says that the Avshalom was a spark from the soul of the initial union of David and Bathsheba. When David was with Bathsheba on that first occasion, she got pregnant and the child died immediately after birth, apparently, right? Because it wasn't perfectly correct. Right? We know that there was a reason, and the get and the rector and the tov, everything was good in the end, but it wasn't ideal, right? So Shimshon only came along afterwards. Not Shimshon.
Shlomo.
Shlomo only came along afterwards, right? So the initial unrectified union, if you like, comes back as Avshalom, which is why he rebelled against his father. According to that.
Like he knew it,
Shlomo. Like it was in his Mishala, too.
So he was subconscious.
Avshalom was before the baby. So maybe the from an Ibor of that union comes into Avshalom and makes him to be rebellious. Okay. So next one we have here is Amram. Who's Amram?
Father of Moshe Rabbeinu.
Okay, so what happened? So we know that where Amram separated from his wife, right? And Miriam came along and said famously, Abba, what are you doing? Your decree is harsher than Pharaoh. He has a decree only against the boys, and your decree is against the boys and the girls, right? You're not allowed. It's not that Amram separated. Amram made a decree for Am Yisrael that Am Yisrael should separate. Right? Amram was the head of Gadol Ador. He said Am Yisrael should be separated because we don't want our kids thrown into the water anymore. Well, the boys anyway. So we should all separate. Right? So then Miriam comes along and says, you can't do that. Right? If you do that, you're just Pharaoh wants to kill the boys, but you're killing the boys and the girls. Meaning, right? So there's a different perish on that. Right? That's the simple perish, which is very nice. There's another perish of what actually was going on there, which is that Miriam was saying to her father, your decree is harsher than Pharaoh's. Why? Why did Amram make that decree? Amram, who is Gadol Ador, decides that Am Yisrael is going to finish here. Amram is deciding that no more boys, no more girls, no more nothing. He's effectively killing off Am Yisrael. Right? That's what, you don't have any more kids. End of Am Yisrael. We're done. Draw a line at this point. So what was Amram trying to do? He wasn't dumb. He knew that was going to be the logical conclusion of what we just said. So Amram was trying to speed up the redemption. Amram knew that Am Yisrael were down in Egypt for a specific amount of time, and Hashem then has to come and redeem us. So what did he think? Amram knew that Hashem is not going to let the Jewish nation disappear. Not part of the plan. So we're going to force his hand. You know, Hashem, we're going to, that's it. You better take us out. You better stop. Take us out now. So we're going to stop having kids. And then that's going to Kilu force Hashem's hand. He's going to have to take us out. What did Miriam do? Miriam came along and said to Amram, Abba, your decree is harsher. Why? Because it's not going to work. It's not going to work. Although you can hold by that, there are those in Am Yisrael that can't hold by your decree. And they're going to have relations with their wife anyway. So what are you going to left with? You're going to be left with all the holy people keep not being with their wives, and all the wicked people or Adma, right? Being with their wives, and you're going to have a nation of Roshayim, right? So, not so. Although it's praiseworthy, it's not going to work. And then he said to her, "You know what? You're right." Gave her a kiss on the forehead, and he then went back to being with his wife, and then we have Moshe. After and Moshe came from the remarriage, if you like.
Because
of Moshe, in the merit of Miriam, they got remarried from that union. The Gemara says Moshe was then born as a result of that. Okay. Now, Avraham's soul, his neshama, comes back as King Hezekiah. King Hezekiah. Why? Because King Hezekiah also had the same test, a similar test, of not to have children anymore. What was King Hezekiah's test? King Hezekiah saw that the children that were going to come from him were not going to be good. So Manasseh was going to come from him. So he decided not to have any children. And it took the Navi, Isaiah came and told him, he's not doing right. Even though it's not up to you, it's not in your hands. Hashem wants you to do Ruah, even though you can see with Ruach Kodesh that you're not going to have decent, good children. It's not your call, right? You need to do that. And otherwise he was going to be killed. He repented and he got married, had kids, and Hashem gave him another 15 years of life as a result of that. Next. We'll do one more. Okay. Yaakov and Esav, who you may have heard of, right? Who do they come back as? So, they come back as Mordechai and Haman. Mordechai and Haman. Why? Because when Yaakov comes to meet Esav, what does he do? He bows down seven times. He bows down to Esav seven times. And even though it was done in a kind of a kosher way, still not ideal. He needs to come back and rectify that by not bowing down to Haman. Right? Also, it's written here that they both, spark of them maybe, but they both come back later as Yaakov comes back as Rebbe Yehuda, Yehuda Nasi, right, of the one who put together the Mishnayot. And Esav comes back as Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, Rebbe's friend, if you like, Antonius, who was the Roman ruler. Right, they had a big friendship in the Mishnah. The Gemara talks about their friendship and etc. So, and that was some rectification as well for the brothers, that they obviously weren't friends, but were meant to be. They were meant to work together, etc. Esav, right, represents Edom, and Edom is the Roman ruler, right? And Rebbe was kilu head of Yisrael at that time. So we've got the head of Edom and the head of Yaakov.
Did he convert?
Did he convert? Maybe. Tom, I can.